Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of The Call. Welcome, Ravens Nation. It's a bye week in the NFL for the Ravens, but there is no bye week with The Call. Of course, Skyping in with me is my good buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, hello, Baltimore. Hello, Brandon. And bye week it is. Bye week it is. I think our team took a bye week on Sunday, huh?
I think so, but you know what? This bye week couldn't have come at a better time. This is a perfect time for this team to regroup, figure out what's going on. But that game in Houston, man, that was brutal.
Very brutal. I'm still a little bit fired up over Sunday's game. I expected a loss, as we talked about last week, and I predicted a loss. Obviously, I wanted the Ravens to prove me wrong, which didn't happen. But here's the thing. I didn't expect a 30-point trouncing, and the offense didn't completely show up, and they look utterly lost, and it was just pure chaos. I'm going to eat my words right now. The Ravens proved me wrong, and Terrell Suggs proved me wrong. As we all know, when I said, you can go back and listen to the podcast, we can even replay it. I said, quote, the Ravens would be stupid to allow him to play. And lo and behold, number 55 shows up the first play of the game. Wow, what an accomplishment. Less than 6 months ago, the guy has surgery, major surgery on his Achilles, and here he is playing NFL football. What is this guy made of?
It's pretty amazing stuff that he came back that quickly. I don't think anybody really thought he was going to come back that quickly. And I will say this. You could not tell that he missed any time when he was playing. But after a play, when he got back and got back on the line, you could definitely tell the guy has put on some extra weight since the last time we've seen him. He's definitely not in football shape. But I think the best thing that he said was during the press conference, he was like, listen, we got a lot of big games coming up in November and December, and I want to be ready for them. I want to have a couple games under my belt before I come back in these big brawls. So you know what? Maybe this was the best idea for Suggs to come back this way.
I think it was. Like, he did even said in his interview was he wanted to come back for this. He wanted to test it against a good opponent, you know, get rested during the bye week. He didn't want to come back from the home stretch where we needed him the most, especially with our big stars out and Haloti not already banged up. We don't need, you know, any extra, I wouldn't say excuses, but we don't need this right now. You know, we got Ray out, we got Webb out, not as banged up. We don't need that on defense. I mean, him coming back was a breath of fresh air, and man, did he play out of his mind. I mean, you know, passes defensed, a sack. I could go on and on and gush about his performance. It was probably the standout lone performance on Sunday, other than Justin Tucker's leg, which is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal kid kicking the ball. But Suggs, I mean, I don't know if anybody actually watched this, but I was excited the first two defensive plays of the game, let alone the first two offensive series, when they went three and out both times, and I kind of got excited about that. Suggs was being blocked, and I don't know if you've seen it, Brandon, but he was being blocked. He shoved the blocker off and made a shoestring tackle on the running back, which is impressive.
Wow.
That's exactly what we're missing, is that penetration on the defensive front and getting in the backfield and stopping them on these 1 and 2 yard gains. No wonder we're having 200 plus yards rushing every Sunday, because they're just gashing our line at the point of attack.
Yeah, you know, you could definitely tell, you know, what Suggs was missing, what was really hurting them, and have him back. I mean, it was an instant impact. I mean, we did look to Haloti Ngata a lot when Suggs was gone to kind of keep this defense moving. But those two worked really well together on this game in Houston. I mean, you could tell that Haloti was making a lot of holes for Suggs to go after the quarterback. I mean, Suggs really felt like he didn't even, like, skip a beat, that he was this guy who, this is what I do, this is what I've been doing. I'm going to continue to do it even with this injury sidelining me for so many months. It was great to have him back on the line, and you could instantly feel that impact. I think – I don't know if him coming to Houston was the original plan. In the back of my mind, I kind of think after Webb got hurt and after Ray Lewis got hurt, he was kind of like, I need to come back and be a part of this defense because there's so many pieces missing already. I got to be out there and be a part of this. And I'm glad that he did come back because it definitely seems like the defense, even with Ray Lewis and Webb missing, it felt like that piece that has been missing where Suggs normally is was kind of whole again. And with a defense that was kind of filled with holes and now there's even bigger holes with people hurt for the rest of the season, it was good to at least have Suggs back and kind of have that reassurance that the defense knew what they were doing.
It was like you again, just reiterate, summarize what you said. It was a breath of fresh air. It was great to see him. Maybe even the leadership gap with Ray being out there. We needed him out there. You know, with some guys pointing. You know, to eventually word leadership on the. And got Ed Reed back there. Leadership's not lost. Yes, Ray's voice is lost. Like Daniel Ellerbe said, it was weird not hearing Ray's voice in the locker room, and it's weird not seeing 52 roaming around the sidelines. We've seen it for four games last year. He was hurt a couple years back. You know, he had 2005 injury with his shoulder. We've seen it before, but not to this magnitude where it's almost a, you know, what I would say half a season already, and we're not going to have him there. We're not going to see him till probably not till training camp next July, and it's very disheartening, especially with 21 being out there, and I could go on and on about that, but let's just summarize it up right now. It was a total beatdown. The offense looked lost. Just breaking down the game right now, I got excited. Okay. You know, we stopped them on three and out. The offense, we gassed them on the first drive. We got 3 points out of that. Justin Tucker kicked a 51-yard field goal, which I was happy about that. And then all of a sudden, it's like we just get lost. We get away from what we're doing. And I'm telling this right now, I don't know if it's Cameron's play calling. I don't know if it's Harbaugh, if Harbaugh's lost control over there. I'm not making excuses, but honestly, I'm searching for answers. I'm actually crying out for help here and wondering, where did his offense go? I mean, Monday night, we put up an explosion against the Bengals, and then all of a sudden, 6 weeks later, we've fallen apart, and we're trying to search for identity. Flacco looked lost, and here's the thing right now. I'm telling you this right now, Brandon. Ray Rice, you pay the guy $40 million, and you don't even use him. That's a great idea. That's a genius move. Let's lock him up 5 years, $40 million. And then let's just give him the ball nine times because, I don't know, he's not worth that much. Come on, really?
I don't understand. Ray Rice is a key to this. And especially in a game like last Sunday against Houston where we were passing that ball like crazy, man. I mean, we were hitting Jacoby Jones. I shouldn't say we. Flacco was hitting Jacoby Jones, Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, Dennis Pitta. And those guys were covered, man. Everybody was on their guy like they were supposed to be blocking those passes. Why weren't we utilizing the running game with Ray Rice? Here's something else I found very interesting. Ray Rice is important, but one of the reasons why Ray Rice is so good is because he's teamed up with Vontae Leach. Vontae Leach is a great player. I think he's the best asset that this team has picked up in years. I mean, and just years and years and years. The Russell Street Report website, I think it's russellstreetreport.com, they did an article where Vontae Leach was on the sidelines for 77% of the game that the offense was out there. What are they thinking? If we're not going to utilize the running game with Ray Rice and we're not going to use Vontae Leach, why are those guys even there? I understand that this shotgun formation is more about passing and Flacco making the call, and a lot of people were saying it takes the emphasis off the running game. But if we have the passing game where we have these guys who can do their job and we have people that can run, why aren't we trying to switch it up every once in a while? Why were we passing this entire game? It makes no sense to me.
We can ask... We can ask to throw blue in the face. It's not going to make any sense. you can, you know, if we run it 50 times and pass it 5, we're gonna always argue, why don't we pass the ball a lot? But if we pass it 50 times and run the ball 5, we're going to go, why don't we run the ball? There needs to be an even balance. Here's the thing, you know. What was it back in the day when Jamal Lewis was back here? Give Jamal the ball. That was the war cry, right?
Right.
It was give Jamal the ball, give the ball Jamal 20, 25 touches, and there's a record. We win the game, what, 95% of the time? That you can go back and research it. It was that kind of football. Yes, the NFL's gotten away from the ground and pound. Yes, the NFL's gotten away from the power backs and, you know, really mean defenses and grounding the football. It's more, you know, the defenses are just it's video game-like. I don't know if you play Madden, but that's what it's like. It's like there's no defense in the game. It's how many points can your offense score? If your offense don't show up, you're going to lose the football game. And I don't want it to get like that, but right now – it's looking like it's becoming that. The longer the days of the 9-6 win we had in Kansas City, where it's just an ugly defensive struggle and no offense can't get going. It's the Texans look sharp, and even on the Texans' flip side, this question's kind of obvious, and I want you to give me the million-dollar answer right here, Brandon. You ready for it?
All right, let's hear this.
All right, really, you ready for it?
All right.
What would happen if the Houston Texans did not give Arian Foster the football?
What would happen if they didn't? They wouldn't have won the game.
They probably either would have not won the game, or they'd probably beat us by maybe, what, 3 points?
Right.
Not 30. Okay, I did not research this, and forgive me for not researching it, but I would love to know what Arian Foster's touches were and what percentage he was on the field for versus what – I know Ray Rice touched the ball 9 times. He gassed them for what – I think he had all of his yardage in the first drive, and he didn't touch the ball the rest of the game. I mean, not that I only have him on fantasy implications. I do have him on three of my teams. But here's the thing. The way the drive went, okay, he had a 12-yard run. He had a 7-yard run. They couldn't stop him. He couldn't stop him. This offensive line is built to run stop, not to pass protect. Flacco just was running for his life. And he's not going to throw. Receivers aren't going to get open. He's not going to make the plays he needs to make if he's not being pass protected. And I don't know if it's just we're being predictable. I mean, even on the batted balls, every time he would step back and throw, he would step back maybe 2 or 3 times. I don't know if you've seen this. And he would look directly to his right, and it was like almost like a direct, like a 5-yard out. And it was getting blocked. If they're blocking it, then pump fake to that side and throw a screen on the other side. I mean, you know, I'm no offensive coordinator myself or no play calling expert, but I know football. And if something's not working, let's switch it up here. So maybe I'm just trying to throw a genius idea out there, but I'm disgusted. This has to stop. I mean, you're going to call yourselves elite and all this mess. You know, 5-2 is 5-2, but 5-2 is kind of – it's misleading because look at the Giants 5-2. Everybody's talking to them about being the best team in the league and Eli Manning being the best quarterback right now in the league. But we're the same record, but people aren't talking about us the same way. Why? Because nobody's scared of this team. I'm not even scared of us. And longer the days of where the Ravens had a vaunted offense, and oh my God, they say the M&T Bank's the scariest place to play in the NFL. That might be true, but this team isn't scary right now, and I'm going to be very honest with you. As a fan, as somebody who's putting their opinion out there on the board, I'm disgusted as long as the rest of everybody, and if they don't wake up, we could lose next week in Cleveland. It could be very possible. I mean, 7-2 staring us right in the face, but, you know, 6-3 is right there, or 5-4 if we don't get the act together. This has to stop, and it has to stop right now and give Ray Rice the football. You know, I can go on and on and on, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but newsflash, Ray Rice needs to touch the football. How hard is that?
Ray Rice has got to touch the football, and we're not saying every single place you go to Ray Rice, like you just said. It should be an even playing field. It should be where we are not predictable. A team shouldn't be coming into Baltimore or us going to one of their stadiums and them saying, all right, they're going to throw it to Pitta, then they're going to give it to Rice, then they're going to give it to Pitta, and then we're going to try for a long ball for Torrey Smith. There needs to be them to think we have all these weapons and we need to be ready for whatever they're going to do. It seems like they're just a very predictable team right now. It seems like the Ravens aren't, like you said, they're not scary. They're predictable. It's like going to a movie and going to a horror movie. You know, it's Halloween season and everything. And going to see something like Paranormal Activity 4, which you know what you're going in for. You're going to go in for some scares. And they're going to be
making fun of my movie selections, guys. I did see that last weekend.
Of course not. not. Well, listen. I've seen the first one. I own the other, the two and three, but I don't watch them because I'm so scared. I don't want to watch them by myself. what I'm saying is, you go to a movie because you know what you're going for that movie. You're going there to get scared, and you don't know, like, you go see something like Cabin in the Woods, which is a movie I couldn't stand because I was expecting a horror movie, and it was something completely different. That's what I'm saying. The Ravens should be like. The Ravens should not be a predictable team. The Ravens have all of these tools, and they're not utilizing them correctly. It's like, all right, here's another analogy. I don't know why I'm doing analogies so much right now, but all right.
It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, they give us something to talk about, don't they?
It's like, all right, so we have all these tools, but it's like trying to fix a car using just an Allen wrench, okay?
Right.
You got other things to use to fix a car and to take off a tire and do everything else you have to do with an engine. Don't just do one thing. Don't get pigeonholed like that. Be unpredictable. Keep the other team on their toes and utilize everybody that you can.
Wow. I mean, you said it right there, and it kind of leads me in my one of my next points here is you have all these tools. I mean, yes, the players voted on this list, but we revert back to the top NFL 100 players 2012. Last I checked, Flacco's on that list, Vontae Leach is on that list, and oh, wait a second, Ray Rice is on that list. So, but here's the genius idea. Let's leave Vontae Leach on the sideline for 77% of the plays, you said?
Right.
And let's give Ray Rice nine touches. I don't know if maybe they got so far behind that they had to keep passing it, but here's the thing. The run, if you watched Houston – And this is where it kind of got to me, where instead of actually getting excited and watching him, I actually started dissecting what the other team was doing. Not that I don't do that every Sunday, but this game was such a blowout that I actually saying, okay, what are they doing right? Arian Foster and their offense was being on point so well that the play action was working. That sets it up. If you notice on one of those touchdown plays, it was what, second to goal, I think, and he play action to the running back, and he threw it to the tight end right in the back of the end zone. I think that was the score to put us up down, or not up, but down, like, what, it was like 20-something to 3 or 10, who knows. And if you go back and look at that play, the play action, the run sets up the pass, and it reverts back, the pass can be set up by the run. It all works hand in hand. Why are we going to – and I've seen a couple of times where we play action. Why are we play actioning when Ray Rice touched the ball nine times? That doesn't make any sense. I mean – I'm telling you what, I'm so tongue-tied. I don't know if Cam Cameron's days are up. I don't know if he's just getting old. I don't know if – I mean, I hear that Harbaugh approves the game plan and all that, I hear Harbaugh, you know, being defensive on one front, saying, okay, well, we need to, you know, look at some things. But then I see sometimes he goes against that and says, well, yeah, maybe we should have run the ball more. Maybe we need to look at the offense. Well, what is it? Is obviously something's got to give. He needs to take full reins of the offense and say, no, this needs to be fixed. Or Flacco's got to put the hand up and say, no, Cam, I got this. This is what we're going to do, and actually do it. I think Joe's just listening and going through the motions, and then it's showing on the field. It's not working. What is now is not working, so it needs to be fixed. And yes, I hear all the time again, well, the bye week, we're going to correct our mistakes. We, you know, it's fixable. We're 5-2. Yes, we're lucky, but we could be 0-6. I don't even know. I mean, other than the Bengals game, this team hasn't been dominant in any game this year. And, you know, I'm going to put this on record. We're lucky to be 5-2. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you that we're lucky. Those have been dirty wins. You know, we had the first game that was great. Everything else like that, I mean, it's great football. It's fun to watch as a fan because it is edge-of-your-seat games. But at the same time, being edge-of-your-seat isn't great when the game is like, what, 9-6? because we're relying pretty much on Justin Tucker the entire time. So it's... As a fan, it's fun to watch, but as somebody who wants the team to go to the Super Bowl and to bring, you know, the big trophy, the big win back to Baltimore, it scares me as a fan to think that this is the team that they think is going to take us there.
Very scary to think that is the team that's going to take us there for 1-2. Thinking that this offense is going to last the rest of the season. Do you know our schedule for the remainder of the season? I mean, we play Pittsburgh twice. Oof. We play San Diego. We got the Manning brothers. And we also got the Redskins thrown in there. And oh, wait, we got another divisional battle with the Bengals. So it doesn't get any easier. And I'm telling you what, you know, after the the Browns game, then the Raiders game at home. We have the Steelers, Chargers, Steelers. That stretch right there is going to determine our season. That's two divisional games. That's three AFC games. Well, actually, it's five in a row if you count that, because then we play the Redskins after that. These next 3 to 5 games right now is going to determine where the Ravens shape up. Are we for real or are we for not? You know, and that poses a question, you know, a question of the week. And I'm kind of going to start something new here. And we're always looking for new ideas on the call, Brandon. And, you know, and not to get away from that. But, you know, I'm going to actually, you know, throw the question out there. You know, I want the fans to interact with us. And I pose a question. The question of the week is, you know, with this important stretch coming up, you know, really, you know, fans, I want you to guys tweet us. You know, I want you to tweet the answers to us. Do you really think the Ravens are for real? And, you know, being a passionate fans as we are, you know, obviously we would think we want to win every game and go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. But right now, you know, I'm believing in this team still. But it's almost like, you know, with the Orioles on the flip side, you know, about with their season, you know, there was a lot of skeptical fans on the baseball side because what they were waiting for the other shoe to drop because, oh, we've seen this before. You know, they fall off the All-Star break. Well, what happened? They made an incredible postseason run, and as fans, we thank them for that. With the Ravens, I think we're spoiled and spoon-fed and bratty because we've been to four straight years in the playoffs, going on five if we can keep it up. And I think we're just being spoiled because, you know, we've seen it all and we're just looking for things to complain about. I don't know. That's my input on it. So that's what I'm thinking right now.
That's good, Shane. But is there like a hashtag or anything people should use when they tweet us?
I would think let's look at that. I think a Ravens hashtag should be good for that to determine. I think let's do Ravens the call.
All right, Ravens the call.
Ravens the call. We'll start that out. Ravens the call, and we'll see if we can get any answers back. Like I said, I want to try to get interaction and feedback from our listeners and fans out there alike to at least, you know, get them thinking, get them going. I want to try to at least come up with a new segment every week and try, you know, get a question and get everybody thinking out there. For right now, we're going to keep it simple for the conversation. Are the Ravens for real? And I like to hear people's opinions on that, and yes or no. Simply, and that brings me to that point, you know. Are the Ravens for real? That's the biggest question in the next 2 weeks. We're going to find out, aren't we?
We're definitely going to find out, and it's going to be very interesting. This bye week is much needed, and hopefully they come back, and hopefully it's a team where you know, they're more solid, I guess, and they figured out these holes that they have in the defense. Hopefully that everything gets figured out that way. And the offense hopefully just finds itself pretty much. I mean, it's got everything it needs. It just needs to work together and not be so repetitive, I guess. But are you going to give out any kind of game ball for a loss, or is it only on wins?
No, we definitely would get game balls for losses. I think we know the two most obvious, and we touched on them right in the beginning, was Justin Tucker, and absolutely Terrell Suggs gets one. Justin Tucker's been amazing. You know, watching this kid kick, I think we made the right decision. I've seen, you know, Billy Cundiff bounce around, what, 3 or 4 teams already since we let him go. I don't think he has a job right now.
No.
You know, sorry, Billy, but I don't know if he does. And Justin Tucker kicked 2 50-plus-yard field goals in the game. You know, and he's showing time and time again, you know, granted it was, you know, in kind of in a controlled environment, indoor stadium, but the fact of the matter is he kicked a 51-yarder and a 54-yarder. Billy Cunningham couldn't kick a 32-yarder to tie a football game. You know, granted it happens, you know, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop on that where, hey, Justin Tucker could miss a 20-something-yarder. It can happen. He's not perfect. He's not, you know, immortal. He's a human being. He's allowed to make errors. And there's a lot of factors in, you know, the snap needs to be perfect. The hold needs to be perfect. The weather factor factored in. But right now, Justin Tucker's, you know, he's on point. He's setting Ravens records left and right. And I don't see any flaws with this kid right now. I think he's missed one field goal all year. And I'm very impressed with the kid. And obviously, Terrell Suggs with his comeback. Incredible. Incredible for Sizzle Nation out there. And I'm very pleased to see him 55 back on the field. He's my second favorite player. Ed Reed's my third. Ray, of course, Ray's my first. So it's good to see my other favorite player out there and wreaking havoc in the Ravens defense. And I think we need that swagger back. I don't know if you've seen this pregame, but he kind of brought that dance back that I was talking about on the defense. So that's what I'm hoping, Brandon. I'm hoping that they can get that swagger back on defense. If they can get after it and follow his lead and say, okay, lead my example. You know, I came back from injury, played like that, deflected ball, sacked. If the rest of the defense followed his lead, sky's the limit for the defense to get back on track. And, you know, that's my game balls on. And do you have any to pass out?
I think the two that you said are great, but there is one on offense I want to give out a game ball to, and that's Tandon Doss. He got his first NFL touchdown.
Oh, yeah, Tandon. That's good. Awesome. Congrats. Yeah, I forgot about that. You're right. First career touchdown.
First career touchdown. Good for him. It was great to actually see him on the field. You don't see a lot of this guy when people were like, who the hell just got that touchdown? It was pretty funny because I'm like, that's Tandon Doss, number 17. You know, it's this young kid who had a rookie season where he didn't play at all. So it was good to see him on the field, and it was I'm glad that he got his first touchdown. Wish it could have been a win for the kid, but hey, you know, good for him. He gets a game ball from me. The other two, I agree with you on defense and on special teams. So congrats to those three. Hopefully the next time we give out a game ball, it'll be from a win. What else is going on in Ravens world this week since last Sunday?
Well, I don't know about the team now. I think we've exhausted all that, but I kind of want to go back to the fans, and I've been listening to all them this week, and I kind of want to put my spin and perspective on it and, you know, listen to the local, you know, social medias and media outlets and hearing fans gripe. It's very weird. If you were a stranger and turned on, you know, sports talk radio and listened to the chatter on Twitter and Facebook, you wouldn't think you're in Ravens town. You'd be thinking you're in maybe, you know, I'm going to take a jab at the Redskins. You're down in Redskins territory. You're in Cleveland Browns territory. I heard it straight from other fans. It's, you know, we had people, I mean, I'm going to put it in perspective, Brandon. I don't know if you've heard anything, but people were just making some outrageous comments. Oh, even one fans, and I'm not saying one, it was more like a following of them, were fire Ozzy, it's his problem. I'm like, fire Ozzy, you know how many vacancies and GMs are going to be as soon as he's on the market? I'm like, really? Fire Ozzy? I had to take 5 minutes to just stop laughing. Fire Ozzy, believe that one?
That makes no sense. Absolutely no sense at all.
It's we're losing, so it's his fault.
Thank good not everybody has a podcast.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, freedom of speech. We have to put our opinions out there. Not to say everybody's right or wrong, but I think that's to an
extreme.
Yeah, and we're not firing Ozzy. Get out of
here, crazy
man. Yeah, I know. It's like the idiots come out of the woodwork, and you know, I'm going to be very blunt. You know, I was one of them before. But I kind of keep in perspective here, you know. We're not going to just jump off the bridge and fire. Come on. And, you know, and I think I even heard it from a Redskins fan. He goes, how do you think we feel? You know, we'd be jumping at the bit to be in the playoffs 4 straight years. And that's where I got the spoiled brat analogy from, is from a Redskins fan. He goes, that's what he called us in Baltimore. He goes, y'all in Baltimore are spoiled because, you know, you're used to it. Now you can kind of see how the team's sucking. Now you can kind of know. I mean, look at the Redskins. They took the lead less than 2 minutes against their divisional opponent on the road. And Eli Manning threw a long touchdown pass to Victor Cruz and burned their chances of winning. It kind of flip side. It's, you know, we got trounced, but we didn't have a heartbreaker loss like that to a divisional foe. It's coming if we're not aware. The Browns can nip us, or the Steelers got us here. So, you know. But I just want to keep in perspective, fans. Ozzie Newsome isn't going anywhere. Ray Rice isn't going anywhere. Joe Flacco's not going anywhere. And to get me started on Joe Flacco, no, we don't need a new quarterback. No, we're not putting Tyrod Taylor in. And no, we're not giving him no extension. We're not letting him go in the free agent market. Some fan actually made a good point. Says he's going to laugh from here to eternity to his grave if he would love to see the Ravens not give him an extension. He'd go to another team and light it up and give the Ravens the last laugh because he's in a new offensive scheme. That made me really think about, hey, is it Cam Cameron's offensive scheme? Is it the play calling? Is it the game planning we're doing? I don't know. But the blame solely rests on the team effort here. The line's got to block. You know, the running back's got to toss the ball. Flacco's got to be accurate. He was not accurate. And the defense got to stop giving up yards. It all leads up to a collaborative team effort here and a win. We need to put a win on the board every week to go to the playoffs. 5-2, we're lucky and fortunate to have that. But that's just my two cents. Is, you know, the fans has got to keep in a perspective here. It's like we lose, it's the end of the world. It's like, look, the Texans got beat the week before. They got them their butts handed to them by the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers threw 6 touchdowns. They got whooped the same fashion and on their home turf nonetheless. When's the last time the Ravens got whooped like that on their home turf? Yet the Texans come out taking on us. You know, that's the difference in the NFL. We eke out a squeaker in Baltimore against the Cowboys the week before. We shouldn't have been in that position. We had them dead to rights at 3rd and 27 and allowed them to stay in the game. too many times we allow teams to hang around. That's why the Steelers end up beating the Bengals on Sunday night, because the Bengals had a 14-3 lead but couldn't close them because they let them hang around. And the longer we let teams hang around, the record's going to reflect that. And they just need to get it going in gear. And I'm going to be concerned until, you know, less than a week and a half from now, we're looking at Cleveland. We go in there and get a road division win, and we'll be 3-0 in the division again. And Cleveland, we beat them 8 straight times. I have confidence we'll go up there and fix it. But until I'm proved wrong, I'm standing up by my guns here and saying that I'm concerned for this team. And right now, they don't look like a playoff team. And I think our streak will stop at 4 years in a row.
You know what, man? You just said it all. I have nothing to add after that. You hit every button that you should have hit, and I completely agree with you. I everything you're saying is right on the money.
How about one button we didn't hit? How about the pause button? Let's just hit the pause button for 1 second and just put it in perspective here. Again, you know, take a deep breath. This is our bye week. All the fans get to relax, watch the whole NFL beat up on each other, and hopefully the Redskins beat the Steelers this Sunday. Amen. So I'm putting on my RG3 jersey on this Sunday. I'm going to be rooting hard. Just to break it down a bit, you know, the division stacking up with Steelers kind of has creeped up on us at 3-3. We hold that lead. We need to hold it steady because this comes a stretch run, and we know what we're made of in November and December. We play our best football. And on the back end, we have a lot of home games on the back end of the schedule to help us. And hopefully we're there in December. I'll be there with a couple games rooting hard. And yeah, like I said, one button we need to push. Let's just put the pause button right now. And we have, you know, another week or so for Ravens football to gear up. Let's rest. Let's use this time, you know, through the Halloween holiday season here and, you know, going right up into the Thanksgiving holiday season. And, you know, let's just relax. Just take a deep breath, Baltimore. We'll be okay. We just need to get our feet out under us and find our identity quickly before it just gets too out of hand here.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, that's a good analogy. It's all about analogies tonight, man. I'm loving this. You know, it's good. We got to hit the pause button. It's okay to hit the pause button every once in a while. It doesn't always have to be fast forward the whole time. So chill out this little bit. Usually I would say, hey, why don't we watch some hockey during the bye week? But we can't even do that now.
Yeah, that's a threatening too. I think, what's your season about threatened right now?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm being serious because I'm mad as you are because I just start getting into hockey and I can't watch it.
I know. Got to thank the NHL for that. You want to hear the discussion about that, go listen to What the Puck. I'm not doing that again. That's here.
Like, yeah, exactly. I was going to kind of, you know, throw a segue in there for you, you know, advertise.
Yeah, we got a whole other hockey podcast on the network, What the Puck. That's where you get to hear all that puck talk from.
We were saying What the Puck on Sunday, weren't we?
All the time, the whole time.
I'm telling you what, man, these Ravens make it very interesting every Sunday.
I will tell you, though, at halftime, I had faith in the Ravens, but I almost got caught up in a Finding Bigfoot marathon that I was kind of stuck on Sunday. So,
wow, you actually changed the game?
I was ticked off at halftime, so I'm like, I'm putting on Finding Bigfoot. When it came back, I'm like, all right, Ravens, show me why I should be watching this and not possibly Finding Bigfoot.
Well, they forget Finding Bigfoot. We need to find the offense.
That would be a great one. I think you and I should do a reality show called Finding the Offense and going down to M&T Bank Stadium and just kind of like stalking those seats there. I think that's a great idea.
It is a great idea. Hey, I'm just enjoying it right now. I mean, 5-2 is good. You know, going back into predictions way back in April when we first started out, I did predict this team to be 5-2 at this point, losing to the Eagles and the Texans, not in the manner we thought and not the state of the Ravens as they are now. But fans, we're 3 games above 500. Calm it down. I mean, you know, we have other teams. If you look at the whole NFL as a whole, I think we're still, what, the 3rd team still left in the AFC above 500. We're okay. The AFC is mediocre this year. You know, yes, the Patriots up and coming, but we beat them already, and we matched toe to toe with them that same game. You know, we've seen what the offense can do. You know, if you go back to the rest of the games Ray Rice has been in, he's been effective in the game plan, and it just gets back to, you know, just getting him effective in the game plan, getting him involved. And like I said, you know, if you give – and it brings me up again, I hate to say it, but hey, light bulb, another analogy here. Let's go back to the Michael Jordan days. What would happen if Michael Jordan didn't touch the basketball? Gee, come on. What would happen if he didn't touch the ball in clutch time in 1998 against Utah Jazz and not put that, you know, two-point dagger from the free throw line? I mean, sorry, Utah fans, but it was one of the greatest moments in sports history. Come on. You know, the ball wasn't in Pippen's hands. The ball wasn't in Luke Longley's hands. And heck, it wasn't even Steve Kerr's hands. It wasn't even on the Waterboy's hands. It was in MJ's hands. You give the ball to your playmakers when it's crunch time. But for some reason, our offense coordinator doesn't realize that. And if the Ravens don't realize that soon, i.e. the coaching staff, we're going to be screwed in Baltimore very quickly. And you're going to wonder why Ray Rice is going to start griping. Because, he's not going to gripe. He got paid $40 million for the next 5 years. He's set. He don't need to touch the ball. He's like, okay, give me the ball five times a game. I'm getting paid, but the team's going to suffer. And it's going to suffer quickly, and it's going to show. I'm passionate tonight, but kind of upset. I was upset the week before, and it kind of spilled to this week. So, again, relax, Baltimore. It's okay to be upset as I am, but let's keep it in perspective here. We're 5-2, bye week, time to rejuvenate. Next man up in these injuries, and let's march towards the 6-2 is the next goal.
That's what I like to hear. So, did we cover everything? Anything we miss?
As always, we think we covered it. If not, Ed Reed's got the back.
All right, that's what I like to hear.
Always.
We'll be back next week. We're going to actually talk about the Browns game next week. Since it is a bye week, there's no reason to really preview the game because so much can change within a week and a half. So we'll wait till next week to talk about this game up against the Browns. Of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh is always putting out some great Ravens news all over his Twitter. Josh, where can people follow you at?
It's definitely not findtheoffense.com, but it will be ItalianGQ52.
And, of course, if you have your questions for Josh, he has the questions. You guys have the answers. Use hashtag RavensTheCall and tweet to him. Use that hashtag and tell us what you think. Are the what is it? Are the Ravens real? Are the Ravens
– Are the Ravens for real?
Are the Ravens for real?
I said hashtag RavensTheCall, and I like to hear what our tweet peeps got to say about it.
I like that tweet, peeps. Cool.
Tweet peeps. There you go.
You can follow the show on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Give you information about the call and all the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network, including Poe's Peep Show, A Female's Perspective on Baltimore Football. Make sure you go subscribe to the call and Poe's Peep Show over on iTunes. It's the easiest thing to do. Click subscribe, and every new episode's downloads automatically straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app on the iPhone. Now, here's something you guys can do to help us out. Go to iTunes. After you click subscribe, leave a review. Helps us kind of gain some leverage up in the iTunes community, kind of take notice that these guys are talking football and that people are enjoying it. And after you do a review, tell people on every social network you got. Tell them on Tumblr, on Twitter, on Facebook. Pin us on Pinterest. Whatever you want to do, tell people about the call that you enjoy this podcast and that they should listen to. That'll help us get more and more fans. We can't do this without you guys and your help. So, Josh, thank you so much for talking some Ravens football. Hey, man, put your feet up on Sunday. Enjoy it, and we'll be back next week.
I sure will, Brandon, and I want to interject something real quick before we sign off. I want everybody to set their ringtones to Hail to the Redskins this weekend, and every ringtone donation will donate $1 to the Ray Rice Give the Ball to Ray Rice Fund.
I like that. That sounds good. I like charity work.
Yeah, Ray Rice needs to run the ball. So reiterate that once again. Again, I'm Josh, and Brandon, thanks very much. And I would say Baltimore Ravens fly high, but we're kind of, I don't know what we're doing, but we're going to rest this week, so let's Baltimore Ravens rejuvenate and fly high next week. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good, man. Thanks for talking to me. We'll talk next week.
Always. Thanks, bud.
This has been a production of the @BrandoCash.